Welcome everyone to this interview, where I'm very excited to be talking with Dr. Margaret Christensen. We're talking about the relationship between anxiety, hormones, and toxic mold. An Institute for Functional Medicine faculty member for 15 years, as well as a certified functional medicine health coach, Dr. Christensen first became interested in functional medicine 20 years ago when trying to solve the riddle of her family's complex health challenges. Unbeknownst to her at the time, these were the consequences of severe toxic mold exposure. She became intimately familiar with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, autoimmune, hormonal, neurological, and psychiatric consequences of unrecognized biotoxin illness. A board-certified doctor for 23 years, her initial boutique functional medicine practice has grown into the Carpathia Collaborative, a large, multidisciplinary functional medicine practice based in Dallas and covering the full spectrum of complex chronic disease. Margaret, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, thanks so much, Alex, for having me.
So I feel like a good way to start the conversation is just to make a bit of this connection between anxiety and hormones, and then we're going to go a little broader in terms of the different pieces that can interface with hormones as well. But it struck me as we were talking before we hit record that, of course, anxiety affects our hormones, but also our hormones affect our anxiety. So should we start there?
Sure. Well, and I think from a functional medicine standpoint and a whole system standpoint, we have to understand too how everything interacts and all the different hormones that we have. So estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, insulin, thyroid hormone, along with all the neurotransmitters like GABA, like dopamine, like serotonin, everything is interacting together in a symphony and a dance. And you have to think about, well, what's the hierarchy here? And where are you going to put your levers to help move it? So when on looking at the hormonal side, we understand that we have the H, the hypothalamic pituitary gland adrenal axis, what we were taught is the HPA axis, where signals coming from the brain is really, and our master regulatory center from the hypothalamus is what's sending the signals, hey, it's time to wake up, it's time to go to sleep, it's time to have sex, it's time to eat. You know, these are all hormonally driven. It's time to have a menstrual cycle. Anyway, so everything is interacting together. And when we are understanding that it's our master regulatory center that's being fed by all the different inputs in our body, the temperature outside, the week sleep-wake cycle, again, nutrient deficiencies or not, how much stress are you under, et cetera. That's sending a signal then through the pituitary gland to, again, make more thyroid hormone, or, hey, it's time to ovulate, or, hey, you know, it's time to procreate. So if you understand that you can't just look at one thing, and then where do you start? Well, we always start with the hierarchy, which is the adrenal system, because that's making your stress hormones, the adrenaline, your fight or flight, and then cortisol, which is your long-term stress response. And those two hormones are what are impacting your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone, your thyroid. And so if those are crazy out of whack, then you have to, that's where we always start. And then the thyroid gland, that's the next place that I'm looking, because thyroid hormone is what helps to regulate energy in the body and mitochondria. So mitochondria, of course, is where we produce all the energy in every single cell in our body. And the organs that have the most mitochondria are our brain, because that's our nervous system. It's on 24/7. Also our heart, it's on 24/7. So anything that is disrupting thyroid or mitochondrial function and energy production is going to impact all of the hormones and all the hormonal system. Thyroid hormone in thyroid, of course, is produced here in our thyroid gland, and it's produced, it's called T4 is the basic hormone, and then T4 has to be turned into the active hormone, T3. So, and T3 is what's telling the cells, hey, woohoo, make more energy, turn your mitochondria on, make more mitochondria. So it's telling your mitochondria to make energy. So sometimes when you're having a fatiguing issue, including fatiguing in the brain, which depression or anxiety is too much, it's often a mitochondrial problem, and the thyroid may not be communicating correctly. Thyroid hormone may not be communicating correctly. So we do adrenals, thyroid, And then you start balancing and looking at estrogen, progesterone, testosterone in terms of kind of menstrual cycle. And but then you have to know, okay, well, where are all those things metabolized? Well, all the estrogen and testosterone, they're metabolized in our gastrointestinal tract. So if you have liver issues, you're burdened with toxins, and we're going to talk about toxins in a minute, too many toxins, and your gut's disrupted because you're eating what we call the standard American diet. I guess you have the standard UK diet now too, and we've exported all our genetic modification, highly processed, no nutrient foods. So if you have
We
a
have the same
disruption,
problem, we just have smaller portions, is
there
basically
you go.
the
Okay. So again, if you understand that, gosh, all your gastro, hormones are being metabolized through your gastrointestinal tract. And if that's disrupted, then that's going to create an imbalance. And then we have the vagus nerve. I know you've got somebody talking to the vagus nerve that are sending the signals from the gut back up to the brain. Hey, woo, something's wrong here. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. We have gut feelings for a reason. And then also our neurotransmitters are all, many are produced, like serotonin, 90% of it is produced in the gastrointestinal tract by good, healthy bacteria. So if we have disrupted bacteria and we're disrupting our hormones and we're disrupting our neurotransmitters, again, everything is in a dance. So if we can help bring the hormones into balance, and they're, let's say homeostasis is probably a better word, because it's always shifting. There's not like, oh, we're in balance and we're going to stay there. It's always this movement. So we have to figure out, how do we calm down that chronic stress, fight or flight response that many of us are having, whether it's the circumstances in our lives, whether it's coming from our gastrointestinal tract, again, whether we've had trauma, and I know that's one of your areas of expertise. And as we were discussing beforehand, we've had, a collective trauma for the past 4 years, and a lot of misinformation and malinformation that's purposely been put out to confuse us. So the brain is confused. It doesn't know what to do. And that confusion is part of what generates anxiety. So what we can use is learning how to support and calm down our adrenal system first, learning how to support and upregulate our energy production, and then using things like natural progesterone and DHEA, those are hormones that are available over the counter, at least in the US, to help balance that out while we're working on detoxification problems, because so many toxins are really what's disrupting all that. Estrogen, very important for helping the brain, particularly postmenopausally, to think. But natural progesterone, many, 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 many of us, both men and women, we are not producing enough, and that exacerbates the anxiety. So we can dive into that a little further. So everything is connected, and I think that's what's really important to learn. And how we are trained in conventional medicine is without connecting dots, so silos.
And just something I just was coming came to my mind as you were talking as well, which is that the master controlling of all of these different hormone outputs and systems and so on, often the way that it feels when we have anxiety is it feels like something's wrong, right? Like we don't feel safe in ourselves. And yet, in a way, what you're describing is an inner intelligence and wisdom that's doing the best it can to adapt to the circumstance and the environment that we find ourselves in. And so, in a way, it's like there is an intelligence. It's just we're giving our system a lot of unhelpful cues and triggers and so on, which are then driving this system out of homeostasis.
You absolutely nailed it. Nailed it. Hit the nail on the head. That is the thing, because what I try and tell the folks who come work with us and see us, and when I'm doing other talks and summits, is our bodies are highly intelligent. And what if nothing is really wrong with you? What if your body is having a normal response to abnormal inputs? And by helping to change those abnormal inputs, we can help get ourselves in a much calmer and centered place and be able to think. And we were told not to think for ourselves in the last 4 years, and that is part of the anxiety that's inducing. And I'm sure people are talking about cognitive dissonance. And again, when you grow up also in a traumatic household, there's often a lot of cognitive dissonance. You're being told one thing, but the reality you're experiencing is another. And in there, that's where a lot of the anxiety comes from. And then you throw on top of that the cognitive dissonance, poor nutrition, lack of nutrients, a high genetic need for certain nutrients, and then a bombardment environmentally of so many toxins. And we're going to get to the mold toxins in a minute, but mold toxins, heavy metals, plastics, pesticides, and spike protein is another biotoxin that is impacting and has impacted all of us. And so I think that those are things to understand. And what I always try and remind everybody, there's always hope for health and healing. And what we're trying to do is take out what's toxic and put in what's missing and nourishing for you at whatever level, mind, body, or spirit. Do you need more sleep? Do you need more laughter? Do you need more play? Do you need more zinc? Do you need more methylated B vitamins? And that's part of a functional medicine approach, ideally, is identifying what are all the different things that are going on. And again, so often in, again, our Western training is just unbelievable. We're not actually looking at root causes, and we're putting everybody in silos. And I had an amazing experience this weekend, you know, talking to somebody whose daughter has severe, severe, severe anxiety. And, you know, in 10 minutes of talking to her, I figured out all the different things that are going on. And they've been to every specialist in the country because they have a lot of money. And nobody has asked some of these basic questions.
Well, it's like, in a way, what I'm thinking is what happens in our environment, what happens in our mind, what happens in our childhood is impacting our body. It's impacting our hormones. And one of the outputs of that is anxiety. And so often what happens is people's attempted pathway to resolution is to try and to change all of those factors. Mm-hmm. But also when we address what's happening physically, that also mm-hmm. then changes the way that we feel mentally, the way that we feel emotionally, and so on. And so let's talk a little bit about some of those environmental toxins. And one of the ones that I know you and I have spoken about in the past, and you've spoken about extensively, is the impact of toxic mold. And so maybe you sure. can say a few words about
sure. yeah.
because often I think people can think, well, how can like an environmental toxin like that, okay, I can see that can impact my physical body, but how is that one of the outputs of that the experience of anxiety?
Well, it's probably one of the most common causes of anxiety that people have no idea that that's what it is. 50% of our houses and 60% of our commercial buildings have had water damage. And so I'm not talking about outdoor molds, which, you know, cause allergies and, you know, sinus dripping and all that. I'm talking about toxic molds like black mold that have been growing on the inside of water damaged buildings, in homes, in schools, in dorm rooms, in churches. And again, most people are completely unaware of what it does. So let's just talk about it. These mold and it's not the mold itself. The mold, mold, you can think of it as an organism. It's like a bacteria or a parasite or what it is. So it's in the fungi family. So fungi, there's also yeast in that family, or candida, right? So these are molds, toxic molds that produce mycotoxins. And that's the biggest challenge. It's the mycotoxins that are being produced that can be very damaging to our nervous system. So let's just talk about biotoxins in general, mycotoxins specifically. So a biotoxin is a tiny fat-soluble molecule that gets inside the cell membrane. So our cell membranes have two layers. And so every single cell in our body, and we have trillions of cells, all has two layers. And it's water-soluble on the outside where my hands are. And in the middle is the fat-soluble one. These are fats. They're called fatty, phospholipids. And so what happens is that these biotoxins that are fat soluble get lodged in there, and they disrupt the function of the cell membrane where all your receptors for your thyroid, your estrogen, your progesterone, your insulin, your sugar are to get things in, to allow oxygen and nutrients to come in, and also to allow toxins and to come out. The same double cell membrane is part of your mitochondria and the energy producing in the cell. So if you have biotoxins like toxic mold, mycotoxins, getting inside the cell membrane, it disrupts the function. So your receptors aren't going to work as well. And you go from having olive oil basically inside this double layer here to lard, little chunks of lard of fats, what Dr. Patricia Cain calls lipid rafts. So that's what's disrupting the function. So if you have biotoxins like toxic mold, really can affect in five different ways. Now let's just think about it. When you have poor air quality, okay, so you're breathing in, these mycotoxins, you're not even aware of it. But what you may be having is chronic allergies, sinus infections. Your children may be having ear infections, ADD, asthma, allergies, bronchitis, a lot of upper respiratory stuff. And you don't even connect it to what's in your environment. And then you're being given antibiotics to treat those and all that. We'll get to what antibiotics do to all this. But let's think about this. So I just talked about the hypothalamus. When we're breathing in, again, air that has particulate matter in it, as well as, all the stuff that we're, breathing in from being living in a city, right? Our olfactory nerve, that's our smelling and sniffing nerve, goes directly right back into the hypothalamus in the brain. And the hypothalamus is part of the limbic system. And I'm sure you are having plenty of people talk about the limbic system and amygdalas and amygdala dysfunction. So there we are. We're breathing in something that's inflaming and irritating that olfactory nerve, affecting the hypothalamus, which is our master regulatory center for hormones. And it's feeling that distress. And part of the limbic system is the hypothalamus, the amygdala, which is actually what's scanning for fight or flight, and the hippocampus, our memory. So we're sending a signal to the brain that, oh, something's not here. So that alone can create anxiety. But then you're having that signal also go down through the nervous system and the vagus nerve into the brain. So now you're breathing in something that's irritating our central hormonal system. The mycotoxins themselves, so that's one way it happens. The mycotoxins themselves can mimic hormones. So you have mycotoxins like zearalenone, which looks like estrogens in the body. And there's one that's called DON, DON, that is a trichothecene that comes from, again, black moles that has testosterone-like effects and disrupting effects. There's one that have thyroid disrupting effects. So we call that mimicry. And you have plastics that are mimicry. You have, again, a lot of pesticides and stuff they are like mimicking hormones. So biotoxins can mimic other hormones and create that disturbance. And then we already talked about kind of the gut-brain connection. So again, when your body is trying to detox those biotoxins, including toxic molds, and spike protein is another biotoxin, it's going to the liver, and then the liver is dumping it into the gastrointestinal tract, and now you're disrupting the gastrointestinal tract. And then you get that feedback loop of, ooh, something's not right here. Something's not right here. Mycotoxins are extremely disruptive to the cell membranes lining the intestines. We call those enterocytes. They're very damaging to those cells. So now you've damaged, again, what's going on down here? And then your body's in fight or flight. You're sending adrenaline down, which is disrupting all the other things, and you don't know why. And so it's that kind of free-floating anxiety sensation. And then, the other piece is if you're disrupting your gastrointestinal tract and/or guess you're getting chronically sick all the time, and you don't know why, and you're taking antibiotics. Well, we know that what do antibiotics do? They disrupt the good guy bacteria in the gut. They're producing all your healthy neurotransmitters and helping to metabolize your estrogens and your testosterones, your progesterone. So those come out of whack. So this is how this happens. And then you get literal inflammation in the nervous system itself. So those are some of the mechanisms by which mycotoxins specifically, but biotoxins in general, and I don't know if I've said heavy metals in there, but that's another piece there that can do it. So what I try and do is ascertain somebody's total toxic load of all those things, but I want to specifically ask them, how many different homes have you lived in? Apartments, dorms, whatever. When you started getting sick, where were you living? How long were you there? The other important part of this of biotoxins is that they accumulate over time. So they're fat soluble. So unless you are purposefully trying to get rid of them, and we can get into how we do that, then they are going to kind of repeat this cycle of being a hormone mimicry, of disrupting your gastrointestinal tract, of creating chronic infections. What I didn't mention, these biotin and mold toxins in particular, they lower your innate immune system. That's the part of the immune system that goes after bad guy bacteria and viruses and cancer cells. They're lowering that, and they're elevating or turning on your adaptive immune system. That's the part that makes antibodies and cytokines. So what do we see? Lots of autoimmunity, lots of inflammation. Everybody learned in the last 4 years what a cytokine is. And that's exactly what the spike protein is doing to, no matter where that spike protein came from. And the more you're exposed, the more likely you are to, again, to create this imbalance here. So you forget to go after infections. You keep getting sick for whatever reason, and then your whole body is inflamed, including your nervous system and your brain. And then, depending on your particular genetics, it may show up as joint pain, as eczema, as psoriasis, as lupus, or degenerative neurological diseases like Parkinson's, like MS, like ALS, like mental health issues. So toxic mold is probably one of the most common underlying causes of things like bipolar illness that people have no clue that that's what's going on.
The other thing that I think is important here is that a lot of the people that I know you've worked with over the years are people that have tried mainstream approaches, tried different, not I'm saying you're not doing a mainstream approach, but they've tried sort of, the usual paths and not found answers. And there's something that when we're suffering from what we could call a medically unexplained illness, although you and I would argue medicine can explain it, you just got to do it properly. But when you're suffering from an illness where you don't know, you're not getting the answers as to what's wrong, why it's wrong, what the pathway to intervention is. That alone, of course, is incredibly anxiety inducing. And often those folks will go and see different practitioners and they'll pick up on the anxiety. And I think they'll often falsely say, oh, the symptoms are all because of the anxiety, as opposed to recognizing that at least that some of the anxiety is a reaction to the circumstance of someone thinking they're going crazy because they have all these symptoms that they can't explain.
That's absolutely right. I mean, so by the time somebody comes to me, they've often already seen 15 or 20 different, practitioner specialists. They've been to the Mayo Clinic, they've been to the, top medical schools, the top people. But again, we are all trained in silos, and nobody is looking deeper to understand, oh, you have a genetic need for extra methylated B vitamins and zinc that's not being met. And we're not getting it in our foods. We're not getting our food supply. So your body can't even work to detoxify and get rid of all the stuff that's actually creating the inflammation. And then you put that on top of, again, total toxic burden on top of chronic stress and PTSD because you can't figure out what things are on, and or you've had grown up with adverse childhood events as so many have. And then, throw in a traumatic brain injury, head, neck, or spine of some sort, bad fall, whiplash, neck, and it doesn't have to even be a concussion. That will turn on that limbic system in the brain, and it won't turn off. And so that you are in constant fight or flight, feeding a signal to your adrenal glands, run, fight, run or fight, run or fight. And if you can't run or fight, then you actually freeze or you go into fawn, which is, all of those of us who are codependent and taking care of everybody else and trying to meet everybody else's needs before our own. So, or freeze, and that's the depression response, anxious depression. Absolutely everything is connected. And so sometimes just knowing that, what? Again, this is my normal body having a response to abnormal inputs. Let's try and figure out what those are, and let's try and tackle them one at a time. And we always start with the gastrointestinal tract.
So that's an interesting point, right? That I think, again, is another kind of rabbit hole I think people can end up going down is they get more and more information of what's going on. And so actually it feels all the more overwhelming of what to do. But I like the fact you just made the point that that information is important and you still got to start with the fundamentals.
So I think, if people have seen me before, I always say, clean food, clean water, clean air, and a clear mind. If you can just keep those things in order. So what can we do for clean food? Well, we try and eat anti-inflammatory diet or as least processed as possible, organic, ideally. You know, again, clean water. All these biotoxins are ending up in our water supply. So having, you know, filtered water, lots of it with lots of electrolytes and minerals. That is one of the key pieces that we're missing. Clean air. Having a good air filter in your house, that's what's called the HEPA air filter, the very fine particulates, house, office, the same thing, you know, so that you're breathing, good thing. Just starting with those things as best as possible, and then clear mind. What can we do? And I know that you have lots and lots of solutions, you know, on this particular gathering of what can we do to help heal our minds. But sometimes just recognizing, oh, that's what's causing this. They say, I'm not going crazy. I'm having a normal response to abnormal inputs. Right there, that can help ground somebody enough to say, okay, well, let's just start with a deep breath, because what does that do? That helps to stimulate the vagus nerve to send signals of calm. You know, let's turn off these devices. Oh my God. Oh, they're addictive. Yeah.
They really are. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a prayer practice. Do you have a meditation practice? But anyway, so those are the important things, but I think understanding that there's a much bigger picture here, and then where do you start? What are the simplest things that we can do?
Yeah.
So sleep, I start with those two things.
Yeah. Yeah. So then let's assume someone's got those fundamentals in place. And and as you and I both know, those fundamentals are important, because sometimes people come in, they want to go for the next stage. They don't want to deal with the fundamentals.
Right.
And you got to get the fundamentals right first. But let's assume they're in place. What's the next step in terms of addressing that toxic load?
Well, again, so we do testing. So if you're looking for mycotoxins, there's a lot of tests available now different laboratories. So I've used real-time labs. They do urine mycotoxin tests, and Vibrant Labs also does one. I'll use those too. There's blood testing that can be done. My Myco Lab is one of them. That's not looking for mycotoxins. That's looking for, do you have that antibody response that you've made some antibodies against the particularly what we call IgE antibodies. So we want to test to look at if it's there. The other thing is, again, a very high index of suspicion. So you have to know, gosh, I've had, you know, chronic sinus infections or recurrent ear infections as a kid, and I had tubes in my ears, or I have allergies all the time. I'm getting migraines all the time. I have a lot of histamine. I didn't even talk about histamine and how histamine is critically important if you have severe anxiety issues going on, and understanding that role and that connection. And I can come back to that in a minute. So I'm trying to identify, with a good history, your total toxic load. What are all the things that might be a possibility? How many years or how many times have you taken antibiotics in a lifetime, starting from the time you were a little kid? Okay. Because again, those antibiotics are disrupting that good guy bacteria. And what are antibiotics? Where did penicillin come from? It came from the penicillium mold. All right. So antibiotics are really mold mycotoxins. And recurrent use of antibiotics, yes, they'll kill off bad bacteria, but they also damage your mitochondria, they damage cell membranes, and they create overgrowth of more yeast. And yeast produces its own mycotoxin, yeast or candida. So I'm finding out, all the different places that you've lived and worked. And again, when did your symptoms start in there? What are all the other, how many vaccines have you had in a lifetime? And I have two of my four children, they're all adults now, are on the somewhere neurodivergent, one very, very severely so on the autism spectrum. We didn't go from having 10,000, one in 10,000 autism to now one in, 22 to 36 in the US, depending on where you're looking, because of genetics. It's been exposures to these environmental toxicants, including the heavy metals and all the junk that's in the vast majority of our, I won't, the V word. And so, I'm looking for that. And then how do you start mobilizing and detoxing those things? So that would be the next step, is identifying from a good history. The next thing is looking for your total body load. And then you can do specific testing for mycotoxins, blood, urine. You can also do a sinus culture, for example. If you've had chronic sinus infections, you'll get a biofilm. that'll stick there. So anyway, so what we're going to look for, that we're going to look for those, and we start treating and upregulating, detoxing. I'm trying to get people to sleep, for because a lot of times you can't sleep, and one of the reasons you can't sleep is because you have a lot of histamine dumping all the time in your brain that's triggering that hypothalamus to send a signal of distress. So I'll use something like hydroxyzine. I don't know what it's called in the UK, which is an antihistamine that gets into the brain that is used a lot in the psychiatric field. But I use it as an antihistamine because it helps calm down that. So we're working on sleep, and then we're working on, again, gut repair. And then, I have whole programs that describe all of that and what to do and how to do this in steps. So we work on our gut, kind of getting that calmed down. Hydrate with electrolytes and minerals, not just water, but you have to have electrolyte and minerals. Why? Because our neurons communicate with one another through electrical signals, which requires electrolytes and minerals. So those are some of the basic things that you want to do. And then we upregulate detoxification. There's a lot of nutrients, glutathione that we can use. There's a lot of herbs such as, dandelion, a lot of anti-inflammatories like turmeric. So there's lots of detoxing nutrients that we'll use to upregulate, but you want to heal the leaky gut. You don't want to start detoxing somebody when their gut is leaky and then all the toxins are being dumped into the gut and then it's just recirculating. And that's what happens with a lot of estrogens. When you have bad gut bacteria, they're just recirculating and creating all kinds of problems, PMS, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I think that's also one of the pieces that I'm keen to highlight here, which is the importance of sequencing of intervention. That people, I think, can often be very quick to go, right, I need to do the detox. And that's the first thing I've got to do. And often people, and I'm sure they've come to you, they've come to us over the years, and they keep making themselves worse because they're not actually building the system up to the point they're able to tolerate that detox, or as you say, to address the gut, which is already depleted and is potentially going to be further depleted by that detox process.
Right. So, you are so right.
Yeah. And so I'm curious as to, when you've got someone that's chomping at the bit and it's like, right, give me the detox protocol. Yeah. How do you help calm them? And I mean, in a way you're speaking, because part of it is dealing with these underlying pieces like the histamine and so on. But I guess what I'm asking you to do is to reinforce that message that this needs to be done in stages. Yeah. And that's important. And for practitioners that are watching that perhaps get overly led by that push of the patient, like, yeah, just I guess that voice. Yeah,
well, you know, again, you know what I'll tell them, because I see that all the time, that we have to do this in order, because otherwise, you know, we can't. Your body's not going to heal. You're going to make yourself worse rather than better. So if we can go after sleep and calming the brain down and allowing it to rest, and then helping to heal and seal the gastrointestinal lining prior to upregulating the detox pathways. And then that's when I go to start going to the fancy stuff. But it's absolutely important that you have to go through that. And then with detoxification, then we start using things like, again, things that are upregulating all your mechanisms in your body that help spit out toxins. B vitamins are incredibly important for that, particularly the methylated forms of that. And then we're using antioxidants, because as you're detoxing, you're producing a lot of what we call free radicals. Those are things that actually damage the cell membranes. So when you have to protect yourself with antioxidants as you're detoxing, and then you need to be able to, your gut has to be working. You have to be pooping at least once a day, minimum. My preference is 2 to 3 times a day, because that's what's getting everything out. And then you want to be peeing like crazy. You want to be sweating all the time. You want to work on your lymphatics too. And one of the ways you can work on lymphatics, I don't know if you have anybody talking about havening. Havening.org.
I have done in the past. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's going to calm down your limbic system. At the same time, you're mobilizing a lot of the toxins that are out in the tissues. And a lot of people that are overweight, it's because their body is purposely protecting them. They've stored the toxins away in the fat. So if you have rapid weight loss, like all these drugs are Ozempic and all that, but you don't have the mechanisms to get the toxins out of you, then again, the same thing. So prior to detoxification, work on the sleep and calming the brain and the limbic system, because that's where all the histamine is being produced, and getting the gut calmed down. And then you can start really moving out naturally. The body will start detoxing naturally. Then we start pushing it with things like glutathione. We use a lot of high-dose ozone, IV vitamin C, IV phosphatidylcholine. choline. We use a lot of oral phosphatidylcholine. All of this I have outlined. This is, you know, it's a big ball of wax, but you can do it again in order. And then you got to poop it all out. You got to pee it all out. You got to sweat it all out. You got to get rid of that dead skin on yourself. And you have to maintain a sense of humor and hope the whole time you're doing it. And you have
and
to
that's
tap
sometimes
in.
The hardest bit, right?
that's the hardest hit. The mindset is so important because, as we all know here, when we've been stuck for years and years and years and not feeling well, then we are stuck in automatic mode. Our limbic system has been turned on, and you have the Gupta amygdala retraining in there in the UK with Ashok Gupta, and he talks about the amygdala. It's all part of the same thing, but it's stuck. It's on, and we have to learn how to turn it off. And one of the ways is turn off the television, turn off the social media, put anything electronic down at 8 o'clock, go to bed, read something funny, uplifting, joyful, make yourself laugh, go play, do things that are fun. And then if you're really super sensitive, that's a whole nother, you should have Dr. Neil Nathan talking about the ultra-sensitive patient.
We had that before. Neil's great.
Okay, yeah. Get a Pulsetto device. I mean, there's devices that we can work on your vagus nerve. They're, so you do vagus nerve stimulation. So those are all the things you have to do. You cannot just jump into detoxing and expect yourself to get better.
Yeah. It's a journey and it's a process. And I love the fact that you're making the point that we got to get the sequencing right. We've also got to work with these different pieces of the jigsaw, because I think so often people still go back to that sort of mainstream medical world of, oh, this is the cause, this is the answer, and that one dimensional perspective, which of course is the source of so many challenges. But Margaret, we're out of time, but I'd love you to speak to where people can go to find out more about you and your work and some of what they can find.
Okay, well, I think the most important place that people can go for right now to get a big picture overview is to molddetoxdiet.com. We have a section there, a whole video series for teaching people about how the detoxification process works and exactly what to do and all the different diets that you can do if you have SIBO or if you have histamine issues, all that. If you're a practitioner and you're watching, we have the Advanced Mold Biotoxin Immune Module, really teaching about, again, how to address all of that in a very nitty-gritty cell biology level. And on that website, too, is a link to my e-guide to the summit that I did on hormonal havoc, the COVID fallout, and how to fix it, because that is huge. If you don't understand what's happened in the last 4 years, but in that e-guide, I have all the protocols listed. I would also say that topical natural progesterone in the second half of women's cycles is something super helpful that they can have. And a little, if they can access 5 to 10 milligrams of DHEA every day to support their adrenals, that's helpful. All of that's found at molddetoxdiet.com. But I would look for that 150-page e-guide, because that summarizes a lot of what I just said. And very specifically, that's only $20. So
amazing. Margaret, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.